As I mentioned earlier, we're doing things a little bit differently this morning. You notice we began with the Lord's Supper, and, you know, for one weekend, it seems, just for this one weekend, our nation is united on something. And that is, we recognize that it's a time to come and give thanks. And, you know, if there's anything that we should give thanks for, again, like I said, it's that Jesus sacrificed himself on that old rugged cross. So we began with giving thanks to Jesus this morning. And what we'll do this morning as we worship is we'll have time of worship interspersed with worshiping the Lord and hearing what he has to say to us. So, you know, kind of like short little sermons thrown in there, if you will. And so I want to begin this morning with singing All the Way My Savior Leads Me. If you want to stand, you can. If you don't want to stand, if you want to sit, that's fine. Whatever it is you're more comfortable with. We're going to begin with All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Since the pandemic began, and today marks the sixth time. And I would say, I think that it's both a hymn of an encouragement and a hymn of reminders. It's an encouragement because the hymnist reminds us that there is a hope that lies ahead for us. There's a hope that we look forward to as we go through life, but also that it's a reminder of what God has done. Right? Our hope in what lies ahead is built on remembering what the Lord has done and seeing his faithfulness through our life. And, you know, I think I can speak for all of us in saying that In the last 259 days, yes, I counted, in the last 259 days, or 8 months and 1 week, since we went into shutdown, since this whole thing blew up in our faces, I would say that life really has felt like a winding path. Would you agree? I think for all of us here, that life has felt like a winding path that we're all treading together. And I know for myself personally, I've really tried my best to just soldier on. One day at a time, a day turns into a week turns into a month, and I just do what I can. Just keep going. But 2 weeks after we started meeting back in person, if you remember, we started in the beginning of November, the first week of November. 2 short weeks after we started meeting back in person, when things really looked like they were trending upward, or downward, if you look at the case count, things were getting better. But 2 weeks after that, things took a turn for the worse. And if you remember, the announcement was made that Santa Clara would be moved back into the red tier. And then that Tuesday, we got moved into what? Purple. We jumped. We skipped. We made Santa Clara great again, right? We accomplished something. And I remember for me, that week was hard. That week was hard because going forward, taking a step at a time as things get better, it's not easy, but it's manageable. But when things take a turn for the worse, and all of a sudden you're like, what's going on? You know, I thought we were doing better. We just started meeting together. All of a sudden, we're being pushed into the purple tier. Now, for us, since we're meeting outdoors and we're well under the 100-person capacity, the limit, we're fine. It doesn't really matter what tier we're in as far as gathering together as a church. But mentally, that week really took a toll on me. And it really felt like, you know, I thought things were getting better. And I remember one of the things that changes with the purple tier is you are no longer allowed to meet indoors, which, like I said, we're meeting outdoors, so things are fine. But I remember that week I was talking to Alice, and I got really frustrated, right? Because as long as it's sunny, as long as, you know, the wind's not blowing things over, as long as it's not raining, as long as it's not freezing cold, we can meet outdoors just fine. But what happens when the weather doesn't permit? Then we need to meet indoors. And I remember I got so worked up because, you know, the church had purchased air purifiers in preparation for when we will meet indoors. We were making plans for how we're going to do the seating and all that to fit everyone in there safely. And I was talking to Alice, and I was just like, you know what? We just can't get a break. And no matter what we do to prepare, something seems to want to come and get in the way. And I can take this off when I'm talking. And I remember Alice turned to me at one point. She said, you know what, Jason? You got to have faith in the Lord. You got to have faith in the Lord and trust that He will take care of us and that He will guide us. And you know, it's what the hymnist writes, right? All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? What is there that I need to ask? He takes care of every need. He takes care of every situation. And I want to come back and look at what the hymnist writes. So the first verse, the hymnist writes, all the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Then in the second verse, all the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. And as you read these words, as you reflect on what the hymnist wrote, and this was, you know, back in the day, for the most part, when hymnists wrote lyrics, it was based on a life experience. It wasn't based on what they think sounds popular, what's going to be catchy to sing. These hymns, the reason why they're so tried and true is they were written, they were forged in the fire. Hymnists go through things, and these words bubble up out of their hearts as a praise to the Lord. And you would think, you know, if you look at what's written here, you would sense that the hymnist really has learned to trust the Lord completely. Right? The hymnist writes, Jesus, who through life has been my guide, not just when things are not going well. A lot of times we come to the Lord as our guide when things are not going well. When things are great, we're just taking off and enjoying ourselves. But it's when the things start to fall apart, then we come to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Lord, lead me. I need to have direction in my life. But when I'm in control, then Lord, just sit back and watch, because I got this. But the hymnist gives us a sense that all through life, the Lord has been my guide. Jesus, who cheers each winding path I tread and gives me grace for every trial. Now, when you consider that the hymnist is Fanny Crosby, and I think most of you know who Fanny Crosby is, and you know her life story, but she was blinded from a very young age. She herself attributed her blindness to when she was 6 weeks old and she became sick and her eyes became infected and the doctors put some kind of stuff on her eye. She believed growing up that it was a bad reaction to the medicine on her eyes that caused her blindness. Many people now think perhaps she was already blind, but her parents just didn't notice because she was only 6 weeks old. Whatever the case may be, she was blind since a very young age. And so you think about this like, oh, okay, yeah. Well, for Fanny Crosby, the Lord does have to be her guide because she can't see anything, right? She really has to learn to trust in Jesus for everything. And boy, you know, the trials that she would have to face because she can't see. Life is difficult. And so it's natural for her to write these things that, you know, I trust in the Lord as my guide through my life, and he feeds me with the living bread. He guides me through every winding path because she has nothing else she can depend on. She can't do it herself. But the more I thought about it, the more I sat on this hymn, the more I thought about it, the more I realized we're actually worse off because we are also blind, but we just don't realize it. Because we can see with our physical eyes. Right? The difference between me and Fanny Crosby, there's a lot of differences. She's a lot more spiritual than I am. She's a lot closer to the Lord. But one of the big differences is that I think I can see. She understood that she was blind. She understood that she had no recourse on her own. I don't realize that I'm blind. And what do I mean by that? When I look back at my life, I always look at things with my natural eyes, right? Like I was just saying, when we looked at, you know, having to meet indoors, we were making plans. We were doing research into what kind of air purifier would circulate the air the quickest in the room. And we worked hard on things. We can do a lot. We are able. And a lot of times I trust in what I can see. I trust in what I can do. I trust in what I can figure out. But I don't step back and look at things with my spiritual eyes. Just like Alice said, Jason, when are you going to realize you have to trust in the Lord that you cannot possibly account for everything? Right? We figured, okay, we're going to meet outdoors. The sun's going to be in people's eyes, and it still is for some of you, sorry. But, you know, so we're going to put up tarps to block the sun. And what happens when you put up tarps? You figure, I don't want rain to come down and get us wet, so you buy waterproof ones. Not realizing that when it rains, the tarp acts like a bowl and it catches water, and that water is heavy and it's going to bring everything down, which it did the first Sunday. You know, we take steps to plan for everything, right? Because we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to do our best to serve and to figure things out. But then we put so much trust in ourselves and we don't realize we're not looking with our spiritual eyes. But Fanny Crosby, you know, she's able to look with her spiritual eyes because, in a sense, that's all she's got, right? But here I am going through life. I'm confident. I think I can figure it out. And, you know, like Alice said, at some point, Jason, you need to just step back and learn to have faith in God and trust that he will lead you when the time comes, when you meet that new trouble, that he will lead you through. Because he led us through these past 8 months, has he not? In the same way, he will continue to lead us through. And so I think, you know, for me, many times my problem is I don't look at things from God's perspective. I'm just down here on this plane, on this level, and I'm looking at things from my perspective. God's ways are higher than our ways. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And I don't come to him. I sing this song all the way my Savior leads me. But it's not how I live my life. And so I think this Thanksgiving season, I think if you find yourself in the same shoes I am, where you find that you're having to really squint hard to find reasons to be thankful, Maybe it's time we come and ask the Lord, open my spiritual eyes. Let me see things from your perspective. Let me see that, you know, like many pray this morning, let me see the incredible blessings that I'm living in, despite the circumstances surrounding us, despite what we feel like are hardships, and they are, there is much, much to be thankful for. And we need to come and ask the Lord, help me to see things the way you see. Well, let's sing that last verse. Thanksgiving. I think we have to remember that Thanksgiving is not just about expressing thanks. Thanksgiving, part of thankfulness is responding and taking action. This week I listened to a sermon on the 10 lepers. If you remember, there were 10 lepers who cried out to Jesus for healing. And if you remember, Jesus healed all 10 lepers. Right? And, well, he sent them on their way. He said, go and show yourselves to the priests and you will be made clean. And on the way there, it was as they went in faith, on their way there, they were made clean. Now, remember, what was the point of the whole thing? How many lepers came back to say thank you to Jesus? One. Only one out of those 10 lepers came back to Jesus to say thank you. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for hearing my cry. Thank you for meeting my need. And that was what this brother pointed out in a sermon, that of these 10 lepers, only one took action. I think they were all thankful. I think they all greatly appreciated what Jesus did. If you think about what leprosy is, it is a infection of sorts, and it makes your skin deteriorate. Your skin sloughs off. In more extreme cases, you know, extremities, tips of your fingers, your nose, your ears, these things come off. It's more than an unpleasant sickness, right? But these 10 were healed, and I'm sure they were thankful. I'm sure they were glad of the touch from Jesus. But only one of them responded in action, in coming back to Jesus, taking action to give thanks. And, you know, this hymn that we're in the middle of singing, I've always associated with thankfulness, because the hymn teaches us how to be content. Because a lot of times in life, when we find ourselves filled with discontent, when we find ourselves dissatisfied with life, it's because we're going through our days wanting and desiring, feeling like I don't have enough, wanting something I don't have, and not having it, and therefore we become discontent, we become dissatisfied, because and this happens, unfortunately, during Thanksgiving a lot of times, where you see all these deals, right? If you have wisdom, if there's something that you wanted to buy, keep track of the prices, because a lot of times these Thanksgiving Black Friday deals are not really deals. It's the same price you'll get all year long. It's just that all of a sudden it's brought to your attention, and you know, you're sitting there in front of a computer because that's all you do all day. Now you're indoors, and it's like, wow, this thing's such a, you know, there's such a discount. And you look and you want and you want and you buy, and sometimes you can't buy. And so we're filled with discontent because we feel like everybody's making out with these killer deals and they're getting a lot. We got a lot this Thanksgiving for Black Friday. We got a lot, our family. What happened was, We needed to replace a TV for Alice's mom, or so we thought. So we bought this rather large TV, and it turned out the TV was too smart. It's hard to use. And so on Friday, on Black Friday, when everybody was spending money, I went and I got money because I returned that TV. I came back a lot richer on Friday than everyone else did, right? So I really scored. But we have this idea of, I need to get something. I need to get a deal. The more I save, the more I have. No, the best way to save is just not spend. Right? But we go through life dissatisfied because we find ourselves always wanting, always feeling like what we have is not enough. And so this hymn, it's a great lesson, because again and again, the hymn teaches us to express that I would rather have Jesus than this or that. And these are all things that the world offers. And these things are not bad things in and of themselves. Is it wrong to have a house? Absolutely not. But if you would rather have a house than Jesus, then you've got your priorities upside down. And so this hymn teaches us a part of thankfulness, a part of being satisfied and being content with life, is realizing I would rather have Jesus than any of these things. And if Jesus blesses me with these things, then praise the Lord. But if I don't have any of these things, so long as I have Jesus, I can be content. I can be thankful. And so it's a great hymn on teaching on thankfulness. But what I want to draw our attention to this morning is here in the second verse, we see these two lines. It says, I'd rather be faithful to his dear cause, his meaning Jesus, and I'd rather be true to his holy name. These are responses. These are actions that we take in thankfulness. And these are things that are easy to say or to sing. And those lines can just pass right by us if we don't stop to think about it. And that's what I want to do this morning, is to stop and focus on these two lines. What does it mean? What does it mean to be faithful to His cause? What does it mean to be true to His name? Well, if you've been paying attention in the sermons these last few months, I think you would see that one common and one overarching theme in Paul's epistles has been consider one another, to exhort one another, encourage one another, to love one another. If you want to be faithful to His cause, to His dear cause, if you want to be true to His name, if you want to show that you are a true follower of Christ, a true disciple, this is what Jesus says. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Right? We come back to what Jesus says. If you want to show people, if you want to be true to my cause, faithful to my cause, true to my name, if you want people to see who I am and you want to be my true disciples, people will know who I am through this when you love one another. You know, Jesus says elsewhere in the book of Matthew, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That is the first and great commandment. And then what is Jesus going to say after that? The second is like it. You should know this. Say it with me. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. This is the second command. The first is love the Lord your God with everything you have. The second is love your neighbor as yourself. And this is why, I think this is why this is so common in Paul's letters. Love one another. Care for one another. Think about one another. This is the second great commandment from the Lord. And in these two commandments hangs everything in the Old Testament. Now, interestingly enough, I was reading up on fitness. It's kind of a thing I like to do. I don't exercise much, but I like to read about the exercise. And one of the articles that Google suggested in Google News was, and this headline caught my eye, "To Grow Young, One Action Matters More Than Others." So the first thought I was, okay, so I'm getting to that point where I need to think about being younger. So I guess I'm, Google thinks I'm old now. And so I read the article. The tagline was, "The most powerful longevity hack has nothing to do with diet and exercise." So I said, oh, good, you've got my attention. No diet, no exercise, and I can live longer. Let's do this. And so I read, and I'm going to quote a few key phrases from the article that caught my eye. Okay. The author wrote this. The author learned that it was probably more worthwhile to help out a neighbor than to put collagen into her coffee. Oh, helping a neighbor works better than putting supplements in your drink. I think I heard that somewhere, right? Well, we just read this. Love your neighbor. Another quote, this author was, quote, "spending too much time and too much effort and money on things like chia seeds and goji berries and all the miracle foods of the day," end quote, "whereas she, quote, should have been putting more effort into simple things like friendship, spending time with my husband," not me, but her, the author, "trying to be kinder, more optimistic, and more organized." She happened to write. I'm not saying this for the sake of anyone here, because at least my wife is very kind to me. But you notice a trend here, right? Yes, do your part to exercise and eat well, but what does more for us is our relationship with each other, how we care for one another. I'm going to read one last quote. When the author was asked if this was just new agey and fluffy stuff, her response was, "It's extremely biological and physiological. We are social apes. We evolved to be living in our tribe, and this is how our bodies function the best." So I agree. I agree with the author that it's biological and physiological, but I disagree in that I don't think we're apes. And I don't think this was something we evolved into. This is the way God designed us. He made us. While we were developing in the womb, He put everything together. The design of the human body, again, there's so much about us when I look at it, and I'm amazed. You know, I think every other year we take our kids to get their eyes checked. And at the optometrist office, they have all these posters on the wall, if you've seen them, right? Looking at the inside of the eye. Every time I go, I'm never bored with these posters. And Edwin and Zoe can tell you, they're sitting there waiting for the optometrist to come in. I'll stand there and I'm just looking at these posters. And I am amazed at the construction of the eyeball and the way things work. You've got this little lens, a lens in our eye that moves and it contracts and expands to focus the light at just the right place so it hits the back of your eyeball, and there's these rods and cones that pick up the light and it sends. It's amazing how we were made. And God knows our design because He's the designer. He coded us. He knows exactly how we work. And so it doesn't surprise me that it does us good, biologically and physiologically, to care for your neighbors, because God said it first. He gives us the... Now, here's the thing. When we think of God's commands, a lot of times we think, man, you know, here we go again, telling me what to do, telling me to do this, don't do that, you know, God's so bossy. He's telling us what to do and what not to do because He knows how we were intricately made, and He knows what's good for us. When His second command is love your neighbor as yourself, He doesn't command it because He's demanding something from you. He commands it because He sees us and He knows this is what will benefit us. This is what will make our life the best that it can be. Do you see that? The miracle in that? And you know, science looks at it and they're figuring out that loving your neighbor and caring for them is good for you. But they're going to attribute it to evolution. I come back to the Word of God. This is how He made us. In loving one another, in following His command, we actually receive physical benefit that's better than exercise. Yes, do your lifting. Do your running, whatever, cardio, eat well. You know, I've been making this dessert for myself, almond milk and chia seeds. You soak it and chia seeds get puffy, and it's kind of like a yogurt, and Alice doesn't like it, but I like it because I put a lot of honey in it. But the point is, you know, we do what we can to make ourselves healthy and eat well. But at the end of it, God knows best what is good for us. Amen? So let's sing that last verse together. Sing that last verse together. God is so good.
He's fairer than the least. Jesus.
I'm not going to ask us to sit here and search our hearts to find 10,000 reasons why we should sing of God's goodness. Although I think if we tried, we can come up with a lot. And I hope you come up with a lot of reasons to be thankful to the Lord. But I also pray, I certainly pray that we don't wait until that day when our strength is failing and our time has come to finally start to count the blessings and to give thanks. Give thanks today. Give thanks today while it is still today. Give thanks today while you still have strength, while you still got that beautiful two-tooth smile on your face. Give thanks today. Don't let a day go by that you don't take pause and find a reason to give thanks. But most of all, as we think of all the blessings that the Lord has given us, do not forget that the greatest blessing of all is Jesus Christ Himself. We began our service this morning giving thanks for Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. And so let's end the service this morning by coming back to this thought. In Christ alone, in nothing else but in Christ alone is my everything. In Christ alone, I will give thanks. Let us stand as we sing this song together. am thankful that we can gather together and worship the Lord together. I'm thankful for each and every one of you. I'm thankful that you're all doing your part in helping us follow the protocols and keep our distance and keeping a mask on. Thank you for making it possible that we can keep meeting together. Let me close us in prayer. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Fill our hearts with thanks, not just for the blessings you have given us, but for you yourself. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for your nature, your character, for your righteousness and your holiness, and for your love, Lord, for us. I pray as we go from here that you would fill us, Lord, with yourself, with your presence, and fill us with thanks, Lord, for all that you are and all that you have done for us. We thank you again that we can meet. We thank you again that we can worship together. May all glory be to you, Lord. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a blessed week. Enjoy time of, I don't like this phrase, but enjoy the time of socially distanced fellowship. And God bless you all.